Isaiah, the 60th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
I really like that carol. Thank you for singing it, choir. It was quite beautiful. It also calls us to remember that this is Epiphany Sunday, Sunday when we celebrate the journey of the wise people, the wise men who came from afar to see what God's light was revealing. Let's listen now to the story as Matthew tells it in chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled. And everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So today is actually the 11th day of Christmas, the day on which the song tells us that my true love gave to me, and please join in as you are able. 11 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. Sorry, that was kind of low. So Advent, the season of preparing for the king's arrival, is back in history now. Jesus actually arrived 11 days ago on Christmas Day. And today, this Sunday, even though it's not truly the 12th day of Christmas, we are beginning the season of Epiphany, a time when God will show God's self to all of humankind. And over the next 7 weeks, Jesus Christ will be revealed to us, well, at least according to the lectionary anyway. And this is the season for new faith journeys to begin. Have you ever noticed how journeys, how trips, travels, if you will, are often filled with happiness and excitement and sometimes a bit of anxiety? For instance, maybe some of you plan your vacations to the last detail before you leave. So I wonder, is it because you want to make sure you see everything, check all the boxes? Or could it be you feel a little uncomfortable in unknown surroundings? Most of us are apprehensive a bit about trips. especially to places we do not know much about or where we will meet people that we don't know. In our story today, the Magi of the East of Babylon believed they must go on a major journey. You see, they'd noticed a new star in the sky, brighter than any of the other stars, and that it was so bright it was impossible to ignore. Then, too, their education as astrologers told them two things about such a star. First, depending on the placement of the star in the sky, it could foretell both tragedy or joy. And this particular heavenly body seemed to indicate an occurrence of great joy. A new ruler had arrived. From their studies, they could even tell that this new ruler had come to Judah, Palestine as we know it now. Second, Presbyterian Old Testament scholar and theologian Walter Brueggemann notes that these scholars would most likely have read Isaiah's prophecies, just as did Marshall earlier. It would have been part of their education. After all, Isaiah's words were written during the time the Jews were captives in Babylon. So even though the Magi weren't officially God's chosen people, Isaiah's words would hold meaning for them. Remember, Isaiah said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Many ancient texts foretold a great light, perhaps that of a star, one that would announce a king for Judah's Jews. Now, little Judah was no longer under Babylonian rule, remember, but a protectorate of the fearful Roman Empire. Though these wise men lived in a free land, they probably knew that they were heading towards potential danger. But the star's immense light beckoned them. And like the light of God that had led the ancient Hebrews to the promised land, this star led the Magi to the place where the child lay. And as they traveled, they had to wonder if a new power had arrived, one that could challenge Rome's supremacy. Perhaps this king could buffer their own people from Roman incursion. Perhaps aligning themselves with such a ruler could benefit their country. So they followed the star. They knew the best thing to do for their homeland was to go and welcome this king with precious gifts. They'd go even if the star didn't stand over the new king's home. If nothing else, they could stop in the capital, you know, Jerusalem. Surely everyone there would know where the king would be. Can you imagine the mixture of happiness and excitement and apprehension that they felt as they set out on their journey? Come to think about it, can you imagine the confusion, the surprise and deep anxiety Herod felt when these wise men appeared at his palace's gates? He may have been called Palestine's king, but Rome had appointed him the region's top dog only because they saw his abilities in the way of political intrigue and deception and violence-induced fear. Herod had little compassion or morals when it came to ruling his people. And he'd do anything to retain power, even if the power was simply an illusion, covered in gold plate and fine food and silk clothing. He probably worried that Caesar was replacing him when those wise men came to call. So this paranoid puppet king dashed off to ask his own wise men if there was any truth in the Babylonian visitor's request. And those priests and scribes focused their research to keep their boss happy and feeling in control of the situation. And soon they brought him passages from Micah and 2 Samuel. Words like, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." With these words, Herod concocted a plan to strengthen his power. And then he called the wise men in for a farewell do come back conversation. They didn't know Herod planned to kill all the little boys of Bethlehem, and probably them too, just to stay in charge of his gold-crusted life. Yeah, this journey is filled with excitement, happiness, and deep anxiety. So our wise men leave glorious Jerusalem and head down the road to see the new king, who'd taken up residence in plain little Bethlehem. Now, when I went to that land in 2006, my gosh, 14 years ago, I noticed that Bethlehem was just 9 miles from Jerusalem, just 9 miles. But what a difference those miles make. Instead of the crowded, paved roads of a well-kept city, the village's empty streets were dusty. Some of the low-slung buildings looked like they could cave in at any time. And you could still see bullet holes from at least the last intifada, if not any number of them. And then there's this 30-foot-high concrete barbed wire-topped wall that surrounds the town. Kind of scary. In Bethlehem, everywhere you look, soldiers are carrying machine guns. And posters on the walls of the buildings display the images of freedom fighters who have been martyred for their cause. In some ways, the whole place reminded me of a blend of, say, the violent streets of South Chicago and the rampant poverty many rural towns face where the factories have all closed down. Every day, people go hungry or homeless in our communities. Life here really is quite similar to that of our spiritual ancestors. And yet, God chose to enter this world in such a place as that. I suspect the Magi felt both joy and confusion when they knelt before the baby king in that little town of Bethlehem. God had not come to the majesty of the big city homes of the fabulous and famous. No, God had come to a humble dwelling place, a place like people, where people like you and me live, a place where people who face job loss and hunger live, people who find ways to love hormone-crazed teenagers through those confusing years live, where people have to start over when their dreams are torn apart by fires, floods, earthquakes. And still, these wise men bowed down and worshiped him. It feels as if They are no longer worried that this baby could become a leader who'd protect them from all of Rome's might. It feels as if they knew in their hearts that the meaning of his existence was much, much greater. They knew he could shepherd the whole world through whatever threatened. Their light had come, and the glory of the Lord had risen upon them. And unlike poor, fearful Herod, they saw God in the world, and they rejoiced. For most of us, the day of gift giving was 11 days back. Yet Matthew tells us the greatest gift of all was revealed to wise men well after he came into the world, and only after they had traveled a great distance and faced the challenges fear placed before them. Like the Magi, we, as individuals and as church together, are on a faith journey filled with both excitement and some apprehension. Where is God leading us? Remember what the angels said on Christmas night to the shepherds. Fear not. Yeah, it's easier said than done. But fear not. Remember, too, that on this Epiphany Sunday, God showed God's self to excited and anxious travelers from afar. Wise men saw the child and realized that he would shepherd them through all of life's challenges. And even now, God's star has been set to lead us along our faith journeys. Its light illuminates the faces of our friends who will share in our journeys. And like the wise men, we too are finding the King promised by God's star. And Jesus himself will shepherd us through the challenges that lie ahead to the place that God has prepared for us. Fear not. Believe. Believe in God, and may your journeys this year and always be filled with God's brilliant, beautiful light. Amen. Would you please rise as you are able and say with me the words that confess our faith, that say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Though we are not magi, O God, you have still offered us gifts with which to bless this world. Receive now, we ask, what we return to you today, and use these resources in life-giving ways throughout your world. We especially ask your blessing on the foods from our pantries that we now share with people who are unable to sustain their lives without support. May these gifts nourish their physical needs throughout the cold months ahead, and may your gracious love nourish their spirits. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
On this first Sunday of the new civil year, the youth and I spoke this morning about the liturgical year and how our new year as Christians began on the first Sunday of Advent. I would like to see if any of you have any prayers, any joys, any concerns that you wish to share with this body of Christ. Yeah. So Greg is going to Philly on the 10th for an appointment on the 11th to determine next steps, and if there is maintenance chemo to be administered, it will happen where he lives rather than making the drives back and forth to Philly.
Right. But he's still very optimistic
and he's still praising everybody and the Lord and happy with prayers and just very optimistic about this whole thing. No. We're told to be thankful in all situations. So I feel he really is. Good. Yes. I think that's more than half. Sisters, in your bulletins today, you will find language that I invite you to speak as I give you a signal to share in our liturgy, our work of the people at this communion table. My friends, this is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table or our home kitchen table. This table sits beneath the brilliant light of the holy star of Bethlehem, and we have been guided to this table by our King. Gathered here, all who believe in Christ will share in the spiritual feast our Lord has prepared. Therefore, let all of God's children come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. People of Advent, the Lord be with you. People of Christmas, lift up your hearts. People of the star, offer your songs of joy and thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. In that first moment, O God, you spoke, and the light of creation dispelled the thick darkness of chaos. You whispered, and your glory filled the skies. You sang, and the dust of the earth was shaped into your image as you breathed life into us. We could have lived in grace and peace with you for as long as the sun endures, for as long as the moon hangs in the night sky. But we were tempted by the sweet taste of sin and overwhelmed with temptation's wealth of cheap gifts and thrills. The prophets were sent to tell of your gifts of joy and peace, but we listened to the world's news of success and power and achievement. Finally, in that dark time of despair, you sent Jesus, your servant of salvation. Therefore, we will join our voices with the wise ones, as well as the foolish of every time and place, who forever sing of your grace, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, God of bright dawns, all creation renders tributes of praise to you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who saves the lives of the needy. Hosanna in the highest." Holy are you, God of redemption, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Overwhelmed with compassion, he left the glory of heaven to become a prisoner of sin so that we could become free. Overwhelmed with hope, he entered death's house to break its dark power forever. Overwhelmed with love, he traveled another road, walking to Calvary so that we might run with joy into your waiting arms. So as we remember his birth, as we prepare to journey with him this year, we speak of that mystery called faith, which is revealed to us through Christ. Christ came, the morning star of love. Christ died, the night star of salvation. Christ was raised, the radiant star of resurrection. And Christ will come again, the constellation of hope. Holy One of stars and sinners, send down your spirit of hope upon those gathered round this table and on the gifts of this bread and the cup, that they might make us your faithful and loving children. Feed us with the bread of hope so that when we leave, we will travel another road to defend the weak, to speak for the voiceless, to assist those cast aside. Refresh us with the sweet nectar of grace so we, overjoyed with hope, would go forth to enter the houses of the strangers in our midst, to enter the despair of the lonely and the forgotten, and to enter the hearts of everyone we meet. And when eternity time begins and we are gathered around your table with friends and family we love, as well as with those we ignored and mistreated, with all of our sisters and brothers of grace, then we will lift our songs of glad joy to you, God and community, holy in one. Let us now pray together the words that Jesus first taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. According to Luke, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was arrested, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to all of his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat, and do so in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Every time that you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do so, proclaiming the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes yet again. The table is ready. Let us share in Christ's feast together. Please sit over there. Let them sit with you over there. This is the body of Christ that has been broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance. is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Friends, this is the cup of salvation which was spilt for you. Drink it in remembrance of him. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, from east and west, from north and south, you have gathered us at your table, called us your beloved, and nourished our hearts and minds. Transform us to be your body in the world, and fortify us by your Spirit so that we may serve you and our neighbors with great joy. Amen. Let us sing just verses 1 and 4 of our closing hymn. The light has come into the world. People from far and wide, east and west, north and south, have come to worship the child of that light. We have too. And that light will continue to guide our lives each and every day as we journey through our days in faith, faith in the one who was born in Bethlehem. So go out into the world knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always. Amen. Thank you for moving over.